Preparing for Sunday night. We're not in a series on Sunday night right now, so it's usually just whatever I feel impressed upon to preach. And Lisa, you almost talked me into going into Genesis 5 there, and I'm glad I didn't. I know we've got some folks that have helped, Brother Brad, Brother Craig, Lisa, Isaac Thompson, and John Bymaster helped us before his surgery and that, so. It makes a difference when you got lots of adults there working with the teenagers, because the adults won't behave, so the teenagers have to help keep them in order. Now it's been a blessing, and I just wanted to. I feel like it's a little much to go into a full series in Genesis right now, but I did Genesis 5. There's so much meat, so much doctrine here. It blesses my heart. I don't know how many of you have ever went through a complete study of the book of Genesis, but honestly, if we wanted to really dig in, it would be easy to spend a couple years in Genesis and still be fed every single service. It is a book of beginnings. It is the book of origins. It is the book of how it all started. It is a book that reveals the fall of man, why things became corrupt. It is a book that unfolds the redemption of mankind through, we know, Jesus Christ because of the New Testament. But it reveals God's plan of redemption. It is the book of the calling out of God's people, as he would call out Abraham and then make a nation. And today in New Testament teaching, that's what he's doing with God's people. Those of us that are saved, he's calling us out. Excuse me. So we've already covered Genesis 1, 2, 3, and 4. We browsed through 1 and 2 in regards to creation, in regards to the making of man and woman, and the responsibility of man. We talked about the fall of man in chapter 3, and then chapter 4, we talked about the effects of sin. The self-centeredness, the envy, and we saw that through the life of Cain. And we saw hate demonstrated, and we see the first martyr, the first murder is in Genesis 4. But as we go into Genesis 5, if you take a casual reading, the one prominent word in Genesis 5 is the word death. That is a prominent word besides the word begat. You'll see that there quite a bit. But the word death. And God had told Adam and Eve in Genesis 2, the day you eat of that fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. Well, remember, they didn't die physically. But how many of you know what the word death means? What does the word death mean, Brother Aaron? It means separation. So if we take the word death in its actual definition, separation, when Adam and Eve took of the forbidden fruit, they died because they separated themselves from God. By the way, that's more dangerous than physical death. Because if you're separated from God, the end result, there's only one end result. It's the lake of fire, which is called the second death. So they died spiritually, and the Bible tells us as believers in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and in verse 7, that we were dead in trespasses and sins before we got saved. That's how God reckoned us until we received Jesus. Through Christ, we're alive. We're made aware. New creation is taking place in us. Now, I'm fully aware that as God's people assemble, there's a mixed multitude. And when we talk about a mixed multitude in the Bible, that means sometimes unsaved people can sprinkle in with the saved. It's most important that they figure that out, because nobody else can figure it out for them. Hello? Brother Mike had asked me a question about some Bible verses in regards to were there lost people that crossed the Red Sea with Moses, and I said yes. And I gave him some verses, and in Numbers 11, it says there was a mixed multitude. They weren't all saved. There's a lot of people that can go through the motions. But thank God for us that know what saving grace is. Amen. We know the effect it has in our heart. We know the effect it's had in our life. There's evidence of it. Whether the evidence is chastisement, hallelujah. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So sin now has entered humanity, and we come to Genesis 5. If you're able to stand, we come to Genesis 5. And I'll tell you, if you don't mind, I'd like to actually begin at verse 26 or verse 25 of chapter 4, and I'll read on into Genesis 5. We touched on this Thursday night. I'd like to review it with those that weren't here. When we get to verse 25 of Genesis 4, ladies and gentlemen, Cain has killed Abel. Cain has been cursed, and yet God has given him a protective mark to preserve him while he traverses this earth. And so he will marry, he will have children, and they will repopulate, or they will populate the earth, and they will do great things on the other side of the flood, but we'll discover that their descendants will all die in the flood. And so we come to verse 25 after God gives us the little episode between Cain and Abel. We come back to Adam. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. That's an interesting statement. I'll come back to it. Verse 1 of chapter 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. The generations of sinners who will die physically. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female and... Is there another and? Well, there are some people that think there's another and. Not us, hallelujah. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Verse 6, let me read verse 6. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. We'll pause there because we're going to move on here in a moment. Father, bless the message. May the Spirit of God speak to our hearts. Guide us, direct us, instruct us with your truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The names, every word in the Bible is significant, ladies and gentlemen. Now, what's fascinating about the book of Genesis is if we look at the history of humanity from the Bible perspective, which I believe is the right perspective, from the beginning of creation to where we are now, we're only talking around 6,000 and some years. I know that would blow some people. That really blows their evolution teaching out of the water, but if they use some reason, they'd see it. So if we use the Bible, which we do, hallelujah, to assess our timeline, the book of Genesis covers nearly one-third. I said one-third of humanity's history timeline. That's a big chunk. And so, the Bible says in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man, sin entered into the world. Well, who was that one man when it says that? Adam. And then it goes on to say, and death by sin, therefore death passed upon all men. And if we were to read on, we would see this. So-and-so begat so-and-so, and he lived so long and died. And then so-and-so begat so-and-so, and he lived so long, and he died, and so on, and we read and read. But there are some key figures here, because in Genesis 5, we get the godly seed line. Okay, so God has told us what's taking place with Cain's lineage or genealogy, but now in Genesis 5, he's going to talk about a different genealogy, the genealogy of Seth. Now, what I find fascinating is this. Back to chapter 4, verse 26, it says, "And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." Now, if you paid attention to the reading in chapter 5, it says that Seth was born 130 years after Adam and Eve were created. 130 years. That's time to have a lot of kids. Especially when we figure he ended up living to be 930-something. And he had sons and daughters. But apparently, none of them were calling on the name of the Lord till Seth was born. Now, the name Seth is significant. Some of you remember from teen night. Maybe you remember. I don't know. What does the name Seth mean? It's in your Schofield, I believe. Now you're going to cheat. Yes, sir, Brother Brad? Nope. Not Seth. Not Seth. That'll be the next question, though. Seth, what does the name Seth mean? Does anybody know? Appointed. You'll see it in the passage of Scripture. Look at verse 26 and you'll notice. She calls his name Seth, and then she says, "Because God hath appointed me another son." Now here's what's interesting. In that passage, it appears that she's the one that named him. I know what Genesis 5 said, that Adam called his name Seth. But apparently, according to chapter 4, by the way, if my wife names a kid, I end up calling her by the name that she named her. So that's not a big issue with me. But whose responsibility was it to do the name calling? Adam's. But Adam and Eve, had this promise from God in Genesis 3 after the fall that God was going to provide them a man from the seed of woman who would crush the devil's head, but the devil would bruise his heel. You and I have the view of hindsight, and we know that's talking about Jesus. Okay, we know that. But they had the foresight. They believed God, and as far as they were concerned, Seth was the appointed man. Okay, just bear with me. So they name him Seth. And here's all these names have very good definitions that reveal some history. Okay. So Seth lives for a while and realizes, I'm not the appointed man. It's kind of like he come to the conclusion, man, I got a problem with sin myself. I kind of struggle with envy. I struggle with pride and selfishness. It's not me. You look for another. So he has a son. And he names his son Enos, which means, Brother Brad, mortal. Now, why would he name his son mortal? It's not like the son had any choice in it. So when the son gets the name, the parents have this revelation or this understanding. The name of the child reveals much about the parent or the situation of the times. And so Adam and Eve think, well, Seth's the guy. But Seth says, no, I'm not the guy. And Seth testifies before God by naming his boy Enos. I'm mortal. Here's why this makes sense to me. Because then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Because men won't call on the name of the Lord till they see their need, till they see their problem. By the way, there's another great truth we're going to come across when we get to Enoch. If we get there, we may not get there. This might be a conclusion type lesson, message. So Seth has Enos. And then we come into chapter 5, 1 through 5. We get the quick lifespan of Adam and Eve and Seth's birth. But then notice here, down verse 6, okay? And so Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And, by the way, their longevity should not freak you out or make you suspicious. You realize the UV rays of the sun age us. Okay? What you need to understand is before the flood, we had a protective vapor around this earth that kept people from the UV rays. And they lived longer, and they got bigger. Creatures got bigger. Some of us have been to museums and seen dinosaurs that are billions and billions of years old. Well, I'm glad you know better. As much as that's pumped down the public school system, no, they're not billions of years old. Crying out loud, they're a little over 4,000 years at best, and the flood wiped them out because the flood removed that vapor and it wiped up most of them out. But Seth has Enos. I read on verse 7, and Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years. He begat sons and daughters. This is great reading. Listen, if you're struggling with sleep, you can read these begats. And if you really want to get into the begat chapter, go on into Chronicles and have yourself a blast. But verse 9, Enos lived 90 years. He started a little earlier. He was a youngster when he had his boy, 90 years. And he begat Canaan. Okay, so the name Seth means appointed. Seth knew, I'm not the man. You look for another. Here's Enos. So chapter 5 really gives the emphasis. Chapter 4 ends with Seth and kind of brings into our presence Enos. And then Enos, the mortal one, he has a child named Canaan. Well, Canaan, what's that mean? Canaan means fixed. Tent dweller, fixed. All right, so we move on here. Apparently Enos has made a decision for God. I'm fixed. And verse 10, and Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years, and he begat Mahalalel. What on earth does that mean? That means praise of God. Follow my logic, if you will. If you don't like it, that's fine, but just follow my logic. Here's the godly seed line. First guy says, I'm mortal. That means I need God. He has a son. He names him Fixed. Well, there's something to that. Sounds like a commitment to me. I said, it sounds like a decision to me. Fixed. Where's he fixed? Well, it's obvious he's apparently fixed towards serving and walking with God. By the way, that'll take you to great places when you fix yourself on walking with God. You want life to be an adventure and be full of purpose and joy? I'm telling you, fix your eyes on Jesus. And so he does. And then he has a boy, and he names his boy Mahalalel, or Praise God. That's what happens when people fix their hearts and minds on Jesus and walk with him for a while. They can look back at life and say, Praise God. They can look ahead and say, Praise God. They can look around and say, Praise God, because all things have purpose. And God's been good, and I've got a suspicion, this is just a suspicion, that during Canaan's lifespan, or Cain, is it Cain? I don't want to make sure I say it right. Yeah, Canaan's lifespan, God prospered him. And he's saying, Praise God. That's just my suspicion. The ground was flourished for him. He experienced the material blessings of God. So he has a son. Praise of God. Now we move on. Let's look at verse 13. And Canaan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years and begat sons and daughters. Tragically, none of them seem to be significant enough to make the Holy Scriptures, or maybe there just wasn't enough paper to put all their names down. Verse 14, and all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. Okay, and Mahalalel lived 65 years. He's starting younger than his dad. And he begat Jared. Jared's a fine name. And yet, The name Jared is significant. Just out of curiosity, some of you might have your iPhone out and you're peeking. I don't care. It's even though I've got a pet peeve with iPhone Bibles, but they're useful. I use mine a lot. Does anybody know what Jared? I only have a pet peeve with those during church. That's the only time. That's it. But who cares? I just like the pages, the book, to make notes. All right, anyways. Does anybody know what Jared means? Nobody? Well, look it up, and you'll find out. No, it means to descend. Whoa. Well, now this is interesting. So we go from Mahalio, praise God, we go from most likely prosperity, we go from most likely great material blessing to descend. I wonder, this makes sense. It does, if you think of this experientially. If you think of this historically, even in America. When we prosper financially, a lot of times we do not prosper spiritually. We descend. And yet it is the very spirituality of our country that brought the blessings of God. So Jared is growing up with this name to descend. He was named that by his dad because his daddy caught wind. We're descending. We're losing the spiritual fire we once had. There's the godliness of our people. It's the flame is being put out. We're living lower. We're not living higher. We're descending. And so Jared lives this way. But Jared has a son to give testimony of the kind of life he had to live. Jared has a son, and here he is. He's the one that he gets a lot of recognition. Enoch, though there's only a few verses, is one of the most fascinating characters in the Bible. I remember reading this as a kid thinking, that's the way to go. Wow. And he walked with God and was not, for God took him. He didn't die, didn't have any physical pain, didn't have to go through suffering of any sort, just walked on into glory. Amen. What a way to go. And though Genesis doesn't give us a whole lot of his work, Jude, if it wasn't for the book of Jude, we wouldn't know his preaching. His daddy names him Enoch. The name Enoch actually has the idea of discipline behind it. Is that a coincidence? If you're going to live in a world that is drifting, descending from God, the only way you're going to make it is with a little discipline. No wonder he's the man that says, and he walked with God. But wait, even there, he didn't just automatically walk with God for 300 years. Apparently, he didn't walk with God. Now, this is significant about Enoch. Take a look at this. Okay, so allow me to read on down, if you don't mind, because it's just so much fun to read these. Verse 18. Let's begin at verse 18. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived, after he begat Enoch, 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years. By the way, he's the second oldest man to ever live. And he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and he begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God. What's the next word? Now, don't underestimate that little word after. Don't underestimate that little word. Now, 65, come on, now that's old enough to get with it. Even though you're a youngster there, you could have been walking with God before 65. It's not like he's going through puberty or anything at 60, 48. I'm just changing and all. No, no. Hey, bud, no more childhood cop-out. There's a reason you hadn't been walking with God. But something happens. There's a new birth. And I just like throwing this in here. because the new birth really should always stir us to walk with God. For Enoch, this new birth was in the form of a baby by the name of Methuselah, whom I believe God told him to name, give him the name. This is just my opinion. Here's the reason why. Enoch has this little boy named Methuselah at the age of 65. God clearly says, after he had Methuselah, Enoch started walking with God. So if we can visualize this, let's say, this way is walking your own way. So Enoch was living life, 65, he has a little boy, Methuselah. Has this boy, and God, I'm just saying, I believe God had him name him Methuselah. Methuselah! And then here, he starts walking with God. He's no longer walking his own way. He's walking with God, because when you walk with God, you're going to find on many times it takes you a different direction than what your flesh really wants to go. Some of you, I'm telling you, the fact that you're walking with God brought you to church tonight. It is. Because your flesh is weak like anybody else's. But it brought you to church. So Enoch is walking with God. Now this Methuselah, what's the deal with this name? That is an unusual name. As old as Methuselah. Well, he's just a baby, so let's not age him too quick. His name means man of dart. Strange. Did a little research on this. They would throw, or man of javelin, man of dart. They would throw javelins to test strength. And the greatest strength is really the strength of restraint. It really is the strength of restraint. Because here's what's absolutely fascinating about Methuselah's life. Methuselah would live 969 years, and you may not be aware of this, but I've done this, I've calculated, I've read other commentaries, but I had to figure it out myself, because you can figure it out. You can figure it out with the ages in the Bible. You can figure it out. The year of the flood was the same year Methuselah died. Is that a coincidence? You think God knew about that? Absolutely. And we also learn this. According to what Enoch preached in the book of Jude, Enoch knew judgment was coming. And by the way, Enoch laid it down hard when he preached. I don't find any storytelling or jokes. He just laid it out there. The Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to judge ungodly sinners of their ungodly ways. And he just lays it down in Jude verses 13 through 15, right around there. And so that's what he's preaching while he's walking with God, because when you're walking with God, you're certainly going to get the right message, plus you're going to get boldness. And he's preaching up a storm. But this, the whole difference maker was Methuselah. It's almost as though, and it just truly makes sense, that when he had this little baby, God said to Enoch, when that boy dies, I'm judging the whole world. I mean, it's logical. Because he dies the year of the flood. He may have died. He may have died the day of the first raindrop. That's not beyond a reason there. Not at all. You say there's a little speculation here. Well, of course there is. But there's so much that makes so much sense. So if you got a message, if you got a message at the birth of your child that when that child dies, God says to you, I'm wiping out the planet. That ought to put some fire in your soul to get close to God. So he walks with God. But this also reveals something about God. Before we get the wrong thinking about God, oh, wait a minute. God is long-suffering. Who better to describe the long-suffering of God than his timeline called Methuselah, who'd be the man who lived the longest of all humans? Why is it that Methuselah lived the longest? I think he was God's measuring stick, and God wanted humanity to know nobody's lived longer than Methuselah. This is how patient I've been. How merciful I've been. We go into Genesis 6 and we find that God was trying to get their attention, but he would say in Genesis 6, "My spirit will not always strive with man." He tries. He uses preachers and teachers and Christians at work who are a fire for God, and he speaks and works in hearts. But if somebody says no, there may come a time when God says, "Okay, do your own thing and go your own way." So, the beauty here is it stirred Enoch to walk with God. Now, here's a quick lesson. We're going to wrap it up here because time. In order to walk with somebody, there's some things that are involved here. Because there are two characters in the Bible that specifically says they walked with God. It doesn't mean other people didn't do it. We know that. But they specifically walked with God. God lets us know. Enoch and Noah. Well, number one, you've got to agree with them to walk with them. You've got to be near them to walk with them. You've got to agree with them and you've got to be near them. And then, wait a minute. Now, if we were walking with humans, the way us humans walk together, if we're with each other long enough and we converse, eventually we're going to come across conversation that we might disagree with each other on. We might be different in our opinions of transportation and things like that. Well, if Enoch walked with God and anything ever like that happened between him and God, God did not adjust. Enoch adjusted. James would say this, "Draw near to me and I will draw near to you." James would say this about God in James 4. "Draw near to me and I will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Do you realize when we get close to God, we begin to see things about ourselves that are like, whoa, I need some adjustments. Because see, I can agree with God from a distance, but when you get close, it's like, well, now it's pretty apparent. But apparently Enoch made these adjustments, and boy, he walked with God. And by the way, anytime you make adjustments to walk with God, friend, you are only helping yourself. Amen. You are only helping yourself. So what a story there. The chapter unfolds with Methuselah having a boy before he dies named Lamech. Lamech's name means powerful. Lamech would have a boy by the name of Noah, which means rest. And Noah would have three boys, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and the chapter would conclude. And so there's Genesis 5. Amen. Genesis 5, Enoch walked with God. The new birth. It's amazing how all these babies had an effect on people. Those are some good dads in that chapter too, so we can tie it into Father's Day. All right, we're going to wrap it up. Father, bless the service. Thank you for the Word of God. We pray that the Holy Spirit would help us, Lord Jesus, to be sensitive to your leadership, to your prompting. May each one of us be a witness, be a light for you. And Lord God, we are thankful for your patience with us and your mercy. Bless our service and invitation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Brian?